You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. This episode is being released on November 21st, 2024. And this week, we're going to be talking about what I intended to talk about last week. Unfortunately, last week, I came down with a little bit of a cold. I didn't feel too bad, but I sounded pretty bad, so I didn't record last week for your sake. So now, this week, we're going to be asking the question, did God put Donald Trump back in the White House? In the previous episode, we talked about some things that have not changed and will not change since the 2024 U.S. presidential election. And when I recorded that, we did not yet know what the results were. But now we do. And with the re-election of Donald Trump as President of the United States, many are asking about the role that God may have had in putting him back in the Oval Office. We're going to talk about that today. For links to some related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/11/21/24. Now for our discussion this week. Seeing some comments from self-proclaimed Christians before and after the election, there were some ideas that I kept noticing coming up regularly. Number one was that the election of Donald Trump was an act of divine mercy, giving our nation time to repent and turn back to the Lord. Other people were saying that the election of Harris would have been an indication that divine judgment was all but inevitable due to the increases of sins like abortion and transgenderism and more. But ultimately, what a lot of people were saying was that God was responsible for putting Donald Trump back in office. Now, I wrote an article addressing this idea back in 2012 when Barack Obama was reelected as President of the United States. I'll link to that article in the show notes if you want to check that out. But back then, many Christians were disappointed that Obama was elected. And today, many Christians are happy, or maybe more relieved, that Donald Trump was elected. Now, I'm not going to get into whether we should be happy or disappointed about the results of this election, the 2012 election, or any other election in the past or the future. Instead, I want us to consider the idea, whether we're happy or sad about the outcome of this election, the idea that God was the one behind it. So a few thoughts for us to consider. First, where do Christians get the idea that God would put Trump or Obama or anyone else in office? Well, this comes from the book of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king of Babylon, had a dream and wanted Daniel to interpret it. In relating his dream to Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar described an angelic watcher telling him, "This decision is by the decree of the watchers and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, giving it to whomever he will and sets over it the lowest of men." Now, when Daniel gave the interpretation of that dream, he told the king that he would live for a time as an animal in order to teach him a lesson. "This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. They shall drive you from men, your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses." Daniel explained to Nebuchadnezzar that God put him in power and could remove him from power, and he would do so for a time. And this was meant to humble the king, and it worked. Notice what Nebuchadnezzar said. "At the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, 'What have you done?' At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me, and I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth, and his ways are justice, and those who walk in pride, he is able to put down." Now, obviously, God did this for Nebuchadnezzar. He did this for others. But does God continue to do this today? That's a question that no one seems to be asking. But it is a legitimate question for us to ask. We know that God does not change. But that does not mean that he operates the same today in every way as he did in the past. So, does God rule today in the kingdoms of men directly and miraculously, appointing certain individuals into positions of power or removing them from power? Does he do that? Before we answer that, let's consider another dream of Nebuchadnezzar and how Daniel interpreted it. Earlier in Daniel chapter 2, the king was troubled by a dream and wanted to know what the interpretation of it, but he refused to tell the dream to his wise men so they couldn't interpret it. However, Daniel, as a prophet of God, was able to tell Nebuchadnezzar his dream. You, O king, were looking, and behold, there was a single great statue. That statue, which was large and of extraordinary splendor, was standing in front of you, and its appearance was awesome. The head of that statue was made of fine gold, its breast and its arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You continued looking until a stone was cut out without hands, and it struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and crushed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed all at the same time and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away so that not a trace of them was found. But the stone that struck the statue became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Now, that would have been impressive. Daniel was able to describe the dream in detail without being told anything about it. So surely if he can do that, then his interpretation must have been correct. So Daniel gives the interpretation. This was the dream. Now we will tell its interpretation before the king. You, O king, are the king of kings, to whom the God of heaven has given the kingdom, the power, the strength, and the glory. And wherever the sons of men dwell, or the beasts of the field, or the birds of the sky, he has given them into your hand and has caused you to rule over them. You are the head of gold. After you, there will arise another kingdom inferior to you, then another third kingdom of bronze, which will rule over the earth. Then there will be a fourth kingdom, as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron crushes and shatters all things. So, like iron that breaks in pieces, it will crush and break all these in pieces. In that you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, it will be a divided kingdom. But it will have in it the toughness of iron, inasmuch as you saw the iron mixed with common clay. In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and that kingdom will not be left to another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, but it itself will endure forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of a mountain without hands, and that it crushed the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will take place in the future, so that the dream is true and his interpretation is trustworthy. So this dream foretold of four great empires: the Babylonians, the Medes and the Persians, the Greeks, and the Romans. It also foretold of another kingdom that would be greater than all of the others, which is the kingdom of God. God's kingdom would never be destroyed and would fill the earth. And God's kingdom would be established in the days of the fourth kingdom, the Roman kingdom. And that is important. It provides us with a time frame of when this would happen. Now, the Lord's kingdom was established in the form of the church on the day of Pentecost following Jesus' crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. We don't have time to get into all the explanations of how we know that was the case, but I'll link to an article in the show notes about the establishment of the kingdom if you want to read more about that. But that's when it was established, during the days of the Roman kings. And there are other passages that talk about the establishment of God's kingdom on earth. Again, Daniel 2 and verse 44, in the days of those kings, the Roman kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, but it itself will endure forever. Isaiah also prophesied about this when he said, "Now it will come about in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains, and will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it, and many people will come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, and that we may walk in his paths.' For the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he will judge between the nations, and will render decisions for many peoples, and they will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears Into pruning hooks, nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn war. We also have Joel's prophecy that looked ahead to the event on the day of Pentecost when the church would be established. It says, "It will come about after this that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. Even on the male and female servants I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will display wonders in the sky and on the earth, blood, fire, and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And it will come about that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be delivered. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there will be those who escape, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls." Now in Acts chapter 2, Peter quoted from this prophecy. It speaks of deliverance for those who call on the name of the Lord. These are the ones who received the word that was preached that day and were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. The Lord added them to the church, just as he did daily those who were being saved, as Acts 2 and verse 47 says. And Paul described this as being rescued from the domain of darkness and being transferred to the kingdom of his beloved Son in Colossians 1 and verse 13. Now, Paul told the Galatians that Christ came in the fullness of time. That means that God had arranged everything to be ready for his coming, so that the conditions would be what they needed to be for his kingdom to be established and for the gospel to spread. And this took those four kingdoms that were mentioned in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. The Babylonians, who punished God's people for their sin but left a remnant to survive. The Medes and the Persians, who overthrew Babylon and then allowed the Jewish people to return to their home. The Greeks, who spread a common language throughout the known world. And the Romans, who established peace throughout their massive empire, often referred to as the Pax Romana, the Roman peace, that would make conditions favorable for Christ's kingdom to be established and for the gospel to spread. All of this was prophesied about, and Jesus came at the right time for the gospel to spread once his kingdom was established. So that's important that this was prophesied about. Prophecy is important for the topic that we're talking about here. Many believe that since God was directly involved in raising and deposing rulers in the past, then he must be doing it today. But remember what the prophet Amos said. "Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets." What prophets foretold of Trump being elected? What prophets said anything about the United States? Now, people make some wild claims about this. But the reality is, the Bible says nothing about nations and people today. This means we need to be very careful about making claims that God is doing this or that. Because we cannot make these claims by faith. Because faith, Romans 10:17 tells us, comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. Now, does God have the power to do this or that? Well, absolutely, he does, but that's not the question. Now, some may be quick to ask, what about Paul talking about God ordaining civil authorities? Well, notice what Paul said. "Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves." First thing to keep in mind is that Paul was writing during the time of the Roman Empire, which was the fourth kingdom of Daniel's prophecy. So we can definitely say that God had a hand in the Roman Empire coming to power and being in power for a certain period of time because of its connection to the establishment of Christ's kingdom. But second, this passage in Romans 13 does not talk about specific rulers. It talks about our responsibility as Christians to submit to civil authorities because God ordained or established them for a particular purpose. And we've talked about the divinely given role of civil authorities before. We won't get into that now. I'll link to some material in the show notes on that. But Romans 13 is not about God putting Donald Trump in the White House. Instead, it's about the responsibility for us to submit to civil authorities and the God-given responsibility of Donald Trump or any other civil leader in the position that they are in. So the main point I want us to consider is this. We need to be careful about what we say God is doing when we don't have divine revelation that has announced what he's doing. We can talk about conditions that led to a particular outcome of an election. We can talk about positive and negative consequences of a particular person being in office or certain laws or policies being enacted. But we need to be careful not to declare something by faith when we can't point to it in the Word of God. The Old Testament talks about God ruling in the kingdoms of men. The New Testament, however, talks about Christ being far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. Not in the kingdoms of men, but over the kingdoms of men now that his kingdom has been established. That's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. Hope you found this episode to be interesting, informative, and helpful. For links to some related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/11/21/24. If you have a moment to rate and review the podcast and share it with others, that is always appreciated. And if you're listening to this, remember that we also upload video versions of the podcast to the Plain Bible Teaching YouTube channel. So if you prefer to watch this on video, that option is there for you. And if you are watching this on YouTube, please like this video and subscribe to the channel so you can see the other videos we post here from time to time. And if you see a news story or have some topic that you think would make for a good discussion here, send that to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.